With God's help, I pray to God that he should impart from his wisdom and give me the knowledge, the wisdom, to be able to relate to this August gathering the truth of Torah. And we're not here to pick fights with the Jewish community. We're not here to in any way to antagonize. Rather, we're here to appeal to the Jewish community, amongst the others that are here, that they should listen with an open mind to a person who is coming from a chain of Judaism that has never been cut. I'm coming as a representative, God willing, of the Jewish ideology, the Jewish belief that has existed since we accepted the Torah on Sinai. Firstly, I would like to thank the President Salman Ahmad and Raiz Abu Salam and the whole Palestinian Canadian Student Society for giving me this honor and privilege to be able to address this August gathering. And I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be able to relay this important message to you all. Thank you. I want to again, being that I've heard so much about the Jewish community here being in opposition to my speaking, I just want to remind them that the Jewish community that they know us as, the Neturei Karta or Satmar, I'm not representing Satmar, but the ideology that is against Zionism, the very Orthodox communities around the world, I want to remind them that these people are the ones that set up, which is appropriate for now, an international ambulance service called Hatzalah, which is very well known in the United States. It's well known for the tremendous life-saving activities that they do. Bikur Cholim, that they go to hospitals, they take care of the sick, regardless of who the sick are. They take care of the dead, they have loan societies, and so forth and so on. It goes on and on and on. They know us. And it should be quite a puzzle to them why, if this community, these people, are so involved in feeling for other people, are being compassionate for other people, why all of a sudden are we such villains? What causes us to turn supposedly on the Jewish nation? And I think the question is rhetorical, because we're not turning on the Jewish nation. We're here to save the Jewish nation, as we've done in our work of Hatzalah and all the other activities that we've been doing for generations and generations. And with that, God willing, I'll try, and again, I appeal to God that he should give me the right words, and I should be able to give over the true message of God. Judaism is a religion that has been started by our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God made a bond with them, a bond that is an eternal bond that we have, that we are required to continue, that we are bound by entirely our whole lives. The Jewish nation is bound from the day we are born to the day we die. We are bound to God with this bond. The bond that keeps us is the Torah that God gave us on Mount Sinai. When we accepted the Torah, we accepted from God the written law and the oral law. The written law is the Old Testament, the books of the prophets. The oral law is the Talmud. Anybody who wants to say that he's a true practicing Jew we'll have to say that he is fully following the Talmud, the Shulchan Aruch, the Book of Laws. If he says that he's straying from this, then he is falsifying the fact that he's a true practicing Jew. This is what we accepted on Mount Sinai. Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, accepted this from God, and as Maimonides states, we all heard God give the Torah to us through Moses. We all heard how God said, Adochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God, and we all accepted this fully. Not only our great-great-grandparents, but we believe that our souls were all there. And to stray from that is to stray from God's word, not to stray from some rabbinical authorities that you don't, God forbid, agree with. You are straying from God's word. And this was accepted throughout the generations, through all, universally, all Jewish people. There was occasionally movements that strayed, and they were just completely cut off. There were the Tzedokim, the Shamronim, and they were cut off from the Jewish religion. They had their own religion. They were cut off. That is not the Jewish religion. Therefore, if anybody wants to be a true practicing Jew, he must follow the teachings of our Torah, which is the Talmud, the Shulchan Aruch, the Book of Laws. And therefore, being that I'm in a community that have this privilege and honor to be here, I want to urge the Calgary community that don't look at the messenger, look at the message. And I plead to you that you should be again, you should attach yourself to this Torah, which means sanctifying the Sabbath, watching the Sabbath, according to the Torah, eating kosher, family purity. And it's not that hard. You could do it. And then you'll be a true Jew to God. You should send your children to a true cheder, to a true Torah school that is Orthodox, and attach yourself to a truly God-fearing Orthodox rabbi. That is the only way. I know I'm being very controversial, and I know that being that I'm going to be controversial on another subject called Zionism, maybe people didn't want to hear this, but I am obligated to God. We are obligated to and responsible for all our Jewish brethren. We all stood together on Mount Sinai, and we are obligated one to another. So I must tell you that we are not just anti-Zionist. We are Jews in all aspects, God willing. At least we try to be. And that is, and therefore I'm urging you all, strongly urging you, and the ones who are not Jewish, to tell the Jewish neighbors this is the only way to be an Orthodox Jew and follow Judaism. Now I'll get back onto the subject. We're going to speak about Judaism versus Zionism. I'm sorry, I was asked to explain who I am, who I'm representing. My name is, which was mentioned, Yisroel David Weiss, Rabbi Weiss, from Neturei Karta. Neturei Karta means the watchers. It's an Aramaic wording, and from the Talmud, it means the watchers of the city, which is basically referring to Jerusalem. And it was the name coined that was given to the people who were vocal against Zionism. There was a very large Jewish community, that an Orthodox community, God-fearing community that was living in Jerusalem and throughout Palestine. Before the Zionist movement came up to the Holy Land. And when they came up, these people with the rabbinical authorities started opposing them, standing up in opposition to the Zionist movement. And after a while they got coined with the name Neturei Karta, the Watchers of the City. In very brief, the Talmud states that a wise man came to a city, and he saw, and he asked the person there, who is the protectors of the city? So he pointed to the military, to the army, and this wise man said, no, those are the Machrivei Karta, and I believe in Arabic it's similar, that's the destroyers of the city. The Neturei Karta, the Watchers of the City, are the holy men, the wise men. So this name was given to the ones who were in opposition to the Zionist movement. The Judaism, in order to understand why Zionism is diametrically opposite from Judaism, we have to understand very briefly a certain aspects of Judaism. As I related to you already, Judaism is a religion that binds the Jewish people to God through the Torah. That is our connection to God. And we are not about to stray from that. And we are going to continue with God willing till the end of time, God willing, with this Torah. Never will it be changed. When the Jewish people were given the Torah from God, God said that he has a special land. It is his land, his garden, his land. It is the Holy Land. And he said that I am giving this, this is in the Old Testament, I'm giving this land to you, to the Jewish people, in order that they should be able to serve him. The Torah requires of the Jewish people to be, like I say, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in service of God. That is what the one of the issues of a chosen people, what it, and people don't like that terminology. One has to understand, a Jewish person has the obligation of 613 commandments and being constantly in service of God. We are what is called in the verse in the Old Testament, as God said in God's words, you should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In order to be a true practicing Jew, we have to be a nation of priests. That means, priests doesn't mean you just get a title, you're a priest. That means that we have to constantly be of service to God. We have to study the Torah. We have never any free time. We do not, a multitude of commandments that keep us under the yoke of God, and we have to be a holy nation in our thoughts, in our actions, in our deeds. This requirement is something which, therefore, God gave us the Holy Land. He said, "I'm giving you the Holy Land because that you are a holy nation. I want you to serve me in this Holy Land." But God stipulated, and this is again in the Old Testament, that if you will sin, God forbid, you will be thrown out of the land. The land will regurgitate you. The land will regurgitate you, basically, if you will defile the land. And the Jewish people accepted totally, unequivocally, without any type or any questioning God. And when it came the time, if you look in the books of the prophets, again, the Muslims have the same prophets as we do, the prophets warned the Jewish people that they are not up to par, they're not holy enough, and they will be sent out of exile, they will be sent into exile if they will not better their deeds. Eventually, you look in Yirmiyahu and Jeremiah and so forth, the books of the prophets, the Jewish people were sent into exile. This is part of the essence of a Jew, to accept what God does to him, realize that everything is from God. Nothing happens if it is not willed by God. We accepted exile lovingly, of course with sorrow, but we accepted exile. And when God sent us into exile, he gave us certain commandments. He said to the Jewish people, I'm sending you to exile to break your haughtiness. And I'm stipulating with you, I'm actually swearing you that you are not to try to leave exile prematurely, ahead of time, till the day comes when God will end exile. He said another thing. God commanded us that you should not rebel against the nations, you shall not pick up arms against any nation, and you should not go up en masse to the Holy Land, return en masse to the Holy Land. This is very strict shavuah. It's that God swore the Jewish people that is stronger. It's an oath. It's stronger than a regular commandment. And God forbid if we do not fulfill this, if we disobey, then the punishment is very severe. It says, God forbid we will be like the animals of the city, of the fields. God forbid we will be severely punished. And the Jewish people for around 2,000 years accepted this upon themselves, and they did not try to leave exile. They were very brilliant people. There were times that the Jewish people were very strong, but they weren't smarter than the Torah, than God's commandments, and they did not leave exile. There's responses which we have from the Rishonim, from the first rabbis and later rabbis, that they speak about from Maimonides and so forth. People urged the rabbis, maybe we should try to make our own country and so forth and so on. And the rabbis said, no, accept God's wish, follow God. When anything bad happens, what you have to do is repent, pray to God, look after your actions, see what you're doing bad, and believe in God, and wait patiently for the time when God will end this exile. This is the way the Jewish people lived for now almost 2,000 years in exile. Zionism started, it's not a Jewish religion that started together with Judaism. Zionism started around 100 years ago. And it may be shocking to you, but it wasn't started by the great rabbinical authorities who should be leading the Jewish nation. It was started by people who are atheists, people who are non-observant Jews, people who had left the folds of Judaism entirely, and all of a sudden they are going to be the ones who are going to dictate for the Jewish people how to act, and call this Judaism. Now, I'm not here to antagonize people. I'm here to state the truth the way it is. Theodor Herzl was not a religious Jew. And he started, with his cohort, started this movement called Zionism. Why? Because he had a problem. The Jewish people were suffering anti-Semitism, one of his reasons. And he said, how much longer do we have to suffer? Now, being that he wasn't an Orthodox Jew, being that he didn't accept that everything is from God, he said, look, why are we suffering? You know why we went into exile? He took out God out of the equation. The reason why we were in exile is because we were physically weak. That's all. So there's a very simple solution. We'll make our own state, we'll have our own country, and that's it. That's the solution. Now, if somebody looks at materialistically, without growing up with God, maybe it makes sense. But we know that there's a God who controls this world. And we know that what he said was heretical, that it was blasphemy. We know that we were not physically weak. Physical weakness was not the problem why we went into exile. When the Maccabees stood up and fought, they were 8 people against thousands. It didn't have to do with physical weakness. When God wanted us to win, we won. When God wanted us to lose, we lost. When we were sent into exile, it was because God sent us into exile because of our spiritual lacking, not because of our physical lacking. And to leave exile, to try to shoot yourself out of a metaphysical happening is ridiculous. And this is what Zionism tried to do. And by so doing, they are, of course, incurring God's wrath because they're fighting God. And, of course, you could understand from that the rabbinical authorities throughout the world, not just Ashkenazic, where these people were from, but in the Sephardic communities, Hasidic, Litvak, everybody stood in total opposition to the Zionist movement. Yes, they'll tell you they had this Rav Kook, they had this, they had that, but don't forget we're talking about millions of Jewish people before the Second World War. And they were all, and all the Jewish communities were in total opposition to this movement, this heretical movement called Zionism. And they warned us, the rabbis warned us, that the results will be dire. It will come to what it has come to. Another very strong issue, we believe in God with his ultimate wisdom, had another reason to send the Jewish people into exile. We were following, the Jewish people were people who were following the Torah even when they went into exile. It wasn't that they were total sinners. And the people were very holy people throughout the generation. God said, I want you to be a light unto the nations. I want you to be a nation of priests, a holy nation, and people should learn from you how to be holy. After all, you are sitting and learning. You are the people of the book. You are emulating the Old Testament, God's commandments constantly. You should be an example for the nations. That's one of the reasons why God spread us out amongst the nations. And we must do this. It is required of us to do this. And when we do the opposite, we are desecrating God's name because we are supposed to be representing God and his teachings. Now, when the Jewish people went through exile, they tried to emulate God. We are required, this word, it says, Mahu rachem af atatei rachem, just as God is compassionate, we have to be compassionate. And we accept this upon ourselves. We try to follow God's, to emulate and to mirror God. And this is what is required of us. Now, Zionism, being that it is void of Judaism, being that it is void of godliness, and being that they had this goal, which is a nationalistic goal, right? It has nothing to do with the godliness. They didn't believe in God. They said they were physically weak and they have to have a country. What does that mean? They had a secular, nationalistic goal to make a country. That's all they had. Nothing to do with Judaism, the holy religion Judaism. They had a nationalistic goal, a new movement. Unfortunately, they're using our name. But the fact is it is totally, like I say, diametrically opposite of what Judaism is. It is a nationalistic, secular, political entity. Now this Zionism, being that they don't have the godliness in them, unfortunately their actions that emanated from their striving for their goal to create the state is terribly wanting. Full of, we would say, achzorius of actions that are animalistic. I mean, we've just heard a speaker today that the hurt when you hear what was repeated tonight. When you hear this, and I've heard this many, many times, many, many years. I mean, there's no words to describe the hurt when you the feeling of suffering when you hear what goes on there. I mean, there's no words for that to describe that. This is just the opposite of what a Jew is all about. The Jew is supposed to be compassionate, and he was trained and brought up to be compassionate. We are trained not to hurt a fly. It's forbidden by us to hurt any living creature, and even something that is not living, we're not allowed to destroy. And these people who are godless, these people who are void of Judaism, unfortunately, as the representative of Judaism, they are desecrating God's name. They are doing just the opposite. They are not sanctifying God's name. They are not compassionate. They are oppressing the nation. They simply subjugated these people. They dispossessed them of their lands. They took away their self-rule. They usurped the whole land from them. I mean, there's no, again, from beginning to end, whatever they did is criminal. And this, their actions, whatever they did, their whole movement, their whole ideology is criminal. Because it is just an ideology of a people who came up with a new plan, and they're trying to force this down on another people. Of course, their answer was, we're going to a land without a people, for a people without a land. But that's, of course, ridiculous. I mean, all the statistics show that the majority of people there were the Palestinian indigenous people, the Arab people there. It's ridiculous. Maybe they don't consider them, they started off saying that they're not a people, I don't know. But there were people, there were human beings living there. And the Jewish people knew that. Why? How did we know that? Well, simply, we lived amongst them. The Jewish nation lived amongst the Arab communities in peace, in camaraderie, in harmony, and we have live witnesses who can testify to that, and we have many, many people who left Palestine because they didn't want to be under the State of Israel, and many people there today who are anti-Zionist who will tell you the truth, that we lived in brotherhood over there. And maybe I'll get into that later, but time is not going to allow, I don't think. But the fact is that their actions, what they're doing, being that they are void of the Torah, is unfortunately totally against compassion, against what a Jewish person has to be. Therefore, I think that is first of all to clarify the issue of the difference between Zionism and Judaism. There's the importance is, in very short, why we have to understand the difference between Judaism and Zionism is maybe like three issues. First of all, like I say, because God's name is being desecrated, and we have to sanctify God's name by clarifying that the actions that are emanating from Zionism, the whole movement, is not from God, not from Judaism. By doing so, we are sanctifying God's name. We are clearing God's name from being sullied, from the Jewish name from being soiled, from being the stain we're trying to remove from the Jewish people. So that is one very important reason. And that in itself is a reason enough that we have to go around the world and speak about this issue, because sanctifying God's name is a requirement of human being, of every Jew. The second issue is because, just like a doctor, in order to prescribe a remedy for a sick human being, for a sick person, he must know what the sickness is. I believe that in order to be able to remedy the situation in the Middle East, in Palestine, one has to know what the sickness is. And to say like there's a power struggle and this and that. I mean, it's true there's a power struggle here, you know, for land and so forth. But let us know what the root cause of the problem is. Let us not be fooled by the supposedly legitimacy of two religions fighting or so forth and so on. This is not true. Let us know that it is the root cause of all the problems is because there is a new ideology started by a few people that want to uproot another nation, the Palestinian people, and they want to uproot the Jewish people and the whole Jewish belief. They want to transform the Jewish belief from a religion into a political nationalistic entity. Let us understand what the real problem is. Once we understand what the real problem is, then I think we'll be able to work with a straight mind in order to come to a solution. That is a very, very important issue. The third issue is because we want to stave off anti-Semitism. Because we want to save the Jewish people from being killed on the streets, God forbid. Every day that there's more bloodshed, I'm not even talking about the Palestinian people, I'm talking about the Jewish people. We want the Jewish people to understand that Zionism is a factory for anti-Semitism. They are the main cause of anti-Semitism today. Since their inception, since the birth of Zionism, anti-Semitism grows in leaps and bounds. They have caused an animosity between Muslim people and Jewish people that never existed. Maybe it was trouble. There's always between two peoples, there's always little conflicts and so forth. But the fact is, history attests to the fact that the Jewish people had a home to go to amongst the Muslim nations. And just as I mentioned, how it hurts us, well, anybody gets killed, the Palestinian children or the older people, no difference. And it hurts us. Contrary to what the people who don't agree with the Ture Kata says, it hurts us terribly, every drop of Jewish blood, and it's ridiculous that I have to even say this, but it hurts us every drop of Jewish blood that is being shed. And we know, we point our finger at Zionism. Whenever Jewish blood is being spilled, whenever anybody dies there because of this conflict, we say the root cause of this is Zionism. This is the cause of bloodshed. And once we know this, maybe when we reproach the Muslim people and they can understand to differentiate between the two, then it will, like I say, take away from some of the anti-Semitism that is caused by the ignorance to differentiate between Judaism and Zionism. So it is very, very important that a Jewish person should be able to get up there and say, no, I'm a Jew to God, to serve God, to follow the Torah. I'm not a Zionist. A person should be able to get up there and be able to approach the Muslim community and say, look at us and don't be afraid of us. Look at us and don't, Muslim people should be able to go to the Jewish people. And there shouldn't be a suspicion between the two. After all, why can't we live together as we have before? This is very important. I have to bring up another issue which is constantly brought up to me. There's many issues, and I'm sure by the questions and answers that will be brought up to me this question. But I just want to mention, we said that the Jewish people, first of all, we believe that every human being, the Elijah the prophet says this, and this is the Jewish belief. It says it in Maimonides, and we always inculcated, we taught this constantly. Any human being was created by God. Every human being was created by God. Everybody is holy unto God. As long as he's a righteous individual, he will inherit the world to come. You don't have to be Jewish to be holy. You don't have to be Jewish to inherit the world to come. Judaism is an obligation. When the Jewish people do not follow their teachings, then they are severely punished, God forbid. So it is not just your chosen people and this everything is great. It is great, but we know that it also carries on it the yoke and an obligation that we will be punished when we do not fulfill. If we desecrate the Sabbath, if we open a light on the Sabbath, then we are sinning a cardinal sin. If somebody is not Jewish, he can be a holy person and he can open a light day and night. So we say that you don't have not to be Jewish, you can be holy, but the word chosen is because we are referring to a nation of priests that has to be allied unto the nations. Now we say that the day will come, which we pray for constantly, the Jewish people pray for, the coming of the Messiah, when we will go up and be able to return to God and have back the land. That doesn't mean, as the Zionists want to confuse everybody, that the Jewish hope is for a Zionist state, for a state to happen just not now but tomorrow. No, our hope is for something entirely different. And if somebody is knowledgeable in the Jewish teachings, he should know that. We are hoping for the day when God's name will be revealed and recognized throughout the world. Everybody together will serve the one God. There will be peace and brotherhood, as everybody knows in the Dag Hammarskjöld. People know on the Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza by the United Nations, it's etched into the wall of Yeshaya. It says the wolf will live together with the sheep. They will. Michal says that they will beat the sword into a plowshare. So we are waiting for that day when everybody together in unison will serve the God. Not that we're going to go up and try to force out some other people. No, that's not what it means. It means we will all go up together and serve the one God. We believe it will be centered in Jerusalem, yes. But we believe that all the nations will come together and serve God. That is our belief. We're not going to even go. There's verses that say that people will push the Jewish people up to go serve God. And this is what we're waiting for. A totally other concept. Something that is hard to explain, like certain rabbis would say, just like you cannot explain color to a blind person, we cannot explain exactly what will be in the spiritual elevation in the time of the coming of the Messiah. But we are waiting patiently. We are not doing any action in order to bring this about, just through prayer and good deeds. When the time will come, God alone will do it. And that is what the Jewish people are waiting for. Zionism confused this into the creation of the state in order to be able to implement their nightmare, their higher call, the state of Israel. That is very important to clarify. I'm going to also mention the fact that the Jewish people have lived amongst the Arab communities, because I was asked to speak about this. I personally traveled to Yemen. Natura Karta, by the creation of the state, I don't know if you know, being that Zionism is a movement that is void of Judaism, and they actually hated the religious aspects of the Jewish religion. They wanted to transform it into a nationalistic goal. What they did was they brought up forcefully and through trickery millions, I believe, of the Jewish people from Tunisia, from Yemen, from Morocco, from Iran, from Iraq, and from all these countries. And unfortunately, they transformed them into a non-religious entity. They put them in kibbutzim. This whole story, these books, Yalde Tehran, Mashimim, the children of Tehran, accused how they separated them, then put them in kibbutzim, and so forth and so on. These special organizations, Pi'ilim and Yad Ra'achim, these organizations that are working to save the Jewish children from the hands of the Zionists. This is going on since 40 years ago, 50, since Zionism pulled these people up, and they did different actions in order to get the people, the Jewish people, to come up to the state of Israel. Because they needed cannon fodder, they needed to fill up the land. One of the things that they did, which they were caught, and there's a book on that called Ben Gurion Scandals from somebody, Galen, was that they put bombs in synagogues in order to create fear in the Jewish people, just in case there wasn't some animosity being brewing in the Muslim lands because of the actions of the Zionists. What they did was they put the fear into the Jewish people by putting bombs in synagogues and blaming it on the Arab people in order that these people, the whole communities, should leave. They did many of these things that they've documented. They were caught, and the Zionists, I have a rabbi in London once mentioned to me, he said, many things in this world, most things grow from the ground. There is certain things that grow on water. Zionism grows from Jewish bloodshed. Zionism, if there's more anti-Semitism, there's more reason that they have to have the state. They have to protect the Jewish people. As like the Marshall, the proverb, they say, somebody took a guest into his house, and then he lit the house on in the middle of the night, and he ran out, and he gets fire, fire, and they say, wow, he's a hero, he's the savior. But he lit up the house, he put the matches in the house. These people don't grasp this. The Zionists started this anti-Semitism, they caused the anti-Semitism, and here they're the great saviors. But they're not the great saviors. They cannot be the great saviors, because like I say, metaphysically, It is against God. God says, "But who loves Sitzlach?" You cannot be successful if you're going against God. The creation of the state is forbidden by God. It will never be successful. So therefore, like I said, it's very important to know that the Jewish people lived in peace and harmony in many lands, and we have witnesses to attest to this. I was in Yemen, as I was saying. In Yemen, I went into houses, and we traveled there after the beginning, when the Zionists took up the people in the 48 or 50 when they took them up by the creation of the state. Afterwards, there was a very small community of Jewish people that stayed over, because they were in the mountains, in the back hills, in Chedan, in Reda, and these places that they, thank God, they didn't reach them. The Zionists didn't reach them. These communities stayed there. And then Yemen closed. And when Yemen closed, closed the doors, the Zionists couldn't go in. So, thank God, being that we're in the Ture Karta, we were able to convince the government secretly that we are not Zionists, we are not pro-Zionists, and we would very much like to visit our brothers and assist them in Yemen. And we did secretly, and I've been working with this for, now it would be around 30 years, we would go every year into Yemen secretly, bring them, pay for teachers, bring them books and so forth and so on. And I must tell you, I was there before they opened the doors to allow people to go in from Israel or wherever, or even from the United States. We went there every year. When I went there, the doors were still closed. And I must tell you, I would go into a Jewish community, and the Arabs were like brothers. I sat down, I'd come into a house, and the Muslim style was different than in the United States. I would sit down in the house, and they would be smoking these, somebody tell me what it is, and chewing this gat. Everybody has a big chew. I don't know what this is. And I'd sit down and they'd give this very sweet tea, and everybody, and the neighbors would just stroll in, the Arab neighbors, and they would sit down together, and this is the way they live. They're in total brotherhood. It's as if they would be their houses. And then we'd go on the roads, and when I was there, there was some tribal warfare, and checkpoints. Like the Israeli checkpoints. Anyway, they would have these checkpoints, you couldn't go through, and they would check the car, but they would see Jews. Go. They didn't see my papers. I had the Jews go, because they knew they didn't. They weren't. They had nothing to do with the tribal warfare. So they would let us right through. That is how they lived. Now, when they around 8 years ago, whatever, when they decided to do dealings with America, Yemen. So then the Zionists said, "Oh, they want to deal with America. Okay, fine. But you have to insist that they let the Jewish people who are still there, let them go up to Israel." We went there and we begged them, don't listen to these Zionists. They made these agreements, and the Zionists send their shaluchim, their messengers. Supposedly they went to the Yemenite people and they said, we promise you houses in the religious communities and so forth. You'll be able to be religious like you are here. The truth was that they didn't do that. What they did was they sent them into other areas. They sent them into non-religious areas like they did the first time. They tricked them and they caused them to be non-religious. They needed cannon fodder. That's what they need. So in order to do this, first the thing was they propagandized. They sent out in all the Jewish papers that the Jewish people are suffering in Yemen. That they're making them be non-Jews and so forth. And we kept on. We said, this is crazy. We're going there every year. This is not happening. But nobody listened to the Ture Karta. Nobody listened to the anti-Zionists, of course. So eventually, unfortunately, they accomplished what they wanted. They took up thousands of Jews recently from Yemen. Now. This was a few years ago. Now, what happened? Last year, in the Jerusalem Report, you can look this up. I don't remember what issue, but look it up on the Yemenite. They had a whole story about a Yemenite Jew who returned now to Yemen to visit. And a reporter went along because it's interesting. He goes in there and the guy comes, and the Arabs come and they kiss him, they greet him and everything. And he says, oh, my brother. He says, your brother? I mean, he's not your brother. He says, what do you mean he's not my brother? My mother didn't have enough milk for me, and his mother fed me. So this is... And this is what happened to the hate that was going on. I'm going to just maybe relate one other issue about they keep on saying no, it's not. But of course, what I'm saying is obviously not true. And you know, it's just propaganda from the Ture Karta and so forth and so on. This, you know, the Jewish community is going to ridicule me. This is fact. We happen to have. I'm going to repeat something from a Rabbi Baruch Kaplan. Rabbi Baruch Kaplan is a very esteemed, distinguished rabbi. May his memory be blessed. He passed away a few years ago, 2 years ago. And he, before he passed away, he called together his grandchildren, and he repeated his life history for them, that no, they should learn how to act. He was a very holy man. And he said, again, he started the whole girls' schools movement. If you know the Jewish Orthodox schooling, we have separate boys' schools and girls' schools. He started the Orthodox Beis Yaakov movement in America. So he called them and he said, I learned in Hebron. And he told his history where he was as a youth, and then he went as a teenager to go up to Jerusalem, to Hebron to learn. He said, I was a teenager and I would stroll in the Arab streets. Nobody said a word to me that it's dangerous. He went by himself. He went to the Eish HaAvram. There was a tree that belonged to Abraham in Hebron. I don't know if anybody took it. It says that he took up the angels under that tree. So he said he used to go there, and he would stroll through the Arab neighbors and neighborhoods. Nothing, no problem whatsoever. The Jewish people did business with the Arab neighbors, no problem whatsoever. Everything was perfect. He said, all of a sudden, this is in the 20s, mind you. And he said, all of a sudden, the Zionists started coming in, and they came to Jerusalem. And he said, Jewish people prayed at the Western Wall. They always prayed at the Western Wall. We believe this was our temple was there, and this is our holiest spot. We always prayed there, and they waxed for whatever, gave us permission. We had no problems. The Zionists came, and they wanted to make a statement. It's ours. It's ours. They weren't satisfied with the Jewish people praying there. And Rabbi Kaplan says, what did they need the coastal? What did they need the Western Wall for? They're not religious, but they had to make these demonstrations. And they stood there by the Western Wall. They made these big demonstrations, and they put advertisements in papers that it's ours. They caused this hate, this untrust between the Arab people, and because the Arab people felt threatened by them. He said, all of a sudden, one day, in the middle, 20 people came on bicycles into Hebron, Zionists with their guns. And he said, and the rabbis called them, they should come up to them. What are you doing here? But of course, they had no respect for the rabbis, and they didn't go. So the rabbis went looking for them. They said, they begged them, please leave us. Leave Hebron. We don't want you here. But they didn't leave. And what happened was, afterwards, was the unfortunate, tremendous tragedy, the Hebron massacre in the 20s. The Zionists always point to the Hebron massacre. You see, it was before Zionism. You see that the Arabs have an ingrate hate for the Jewish people. But I'm telling you what the real story is, the truth behind what happened here. In Hebron, they were living together peacefully. The Zionists came, and they were the cause for the Hebron massacre. You should know that. We have that on tape. We transcribed it. This is Rabbi Baruch Kaplan, who was a student in Hebron. He talks about the Hebron massacre, how his Arab landlord locked the door and hid him and a few of the other students in his house. And then he cried. He spoke about the people who were killed. But this is what brought about the Hebron massacre. This is what brought about the Intifada. This is what brought about, not the Intifada now, this is what brought about from the 1948 and from whatever, from the beginning of this tragedy, this ongoing tragedy. They are the cause of this tragedy. We must understand this, because why do we have to understand this? We have to understand this in order to solve this problem, to know how to go away from this problem. They are the problem. Take away the problem, we can live together again peacefully. Wait, let's face the wrong questions. The peace process. I'm just going to ask you to speak about the peace process. The peace process. Well, thank God we had a demonstration in Jerusalem today. I'm sure you're not going to see it in your newspapers, but there was a demonstration demonstrating against the elections today. It's either the peace, it's either the hawks or the doves, or the doves or the hawks, or both, or a blend. I don't know who's running the show today, but it's not going to bring peace, unfortunately, because it's all against God, and it's against the Palestinian people, which is ultimately because it's against God. This is everything. To have a state cannot be successful. Our message is always that it has to be totally dismantled. It has to be turned, transformed back into a Palestinian entity, to the indigenous Palestinian people, the whole of Palestine. And we as a Jewish people, our word is that our way that we've been taught from our grandfather Jacob is our Kol Kol Yaakov, the voice of Jacob. We are a people that we know that God hears us, and everybody I know, the Muslim people agree with this also, that the only way, we can do actions, people do actions, but really who accomplishes is God. Ultimately, it's in God's hand. The Jewish way is prayer. We are constantly praying every day. We have special days of prayer and fast. Because of the Zionist state, when they make their the Yom HaTzmos, the day of the Independence Day, our rabbis wrote letters warning about the tremendously tragic effects that the Zionism will bring about. We have days that we go to our synagogues and we pray and we fast on this day, and we do so every day. We pray again. We pray for the peaceful end and dismantling of the state, because everything is in God's hand and He can peacefully dismantle it. We know that. And we always take as an encouragement that the USSR in one day disappeared, and nobody could believe that could happen. So So, I mean, it can be an encouragement to people. Therefore, we know that ultimately God will help. So our prayer is, and we urge people to constantly pray for the peaceful and speedy dismantling of the Zionist state, and for the we appeal to the, again, to the Jewish people, that they should understand that they don't have to be a Zionist to be a good Jew. In fact, just the opposite, just the reverse. If they want to look at how their great grandparents were in Europe before the Holocaust and so forth, they'll see. I mean, Zionism was before the Holocaust. They want to face reality, even though it's against everything that they've been taught since their youth. And it's very hard for a person to change everything that he's been taught throughout his life. But we urge them, we strongly appeal to the Jewish people, follow your Judaism, be a total Jew. Like I say, keep Shabbos kosher, family purity, and so forth. And stop being a Zionist. Be a good Jew, a spiritual Jew, a Jew to God. Follow the Jewish religion. And this will bring about, like I say, it will stop anti-Semitism also. It will stop automatically the shedding of blood, of Palestinian, of Jewish blood. Like I say, you should, there's very many other issues that I'm not going to even be able to touch upon. Like I say, the Zionist state, being that they're anti-religious, basically, I mean, a very strong point is, how come if they're a Jewish state, supposedly, how come they have to make a whole new court system? What was wrong with our Torah, our God-given Torah? How come they put it on the side and they made a whole new Supreme Court system? According to the Jewish law, that is one considered a very, very criminal act. For a Jew, it's a desecration of God's name not to use the Torah as your law system. And this is done every single day blatantly in the supposed Jewish state. That's one. Who is the leader? Imagine in Rome that they're going to take the leader, the word sayer for Christianity, they'll take somebody who's an atheist or somebody who's not following. Instead of the Pope, they'll take somebody who's not a religious person. I mean, how come Judaism is allowed to have the leaders and the representatives of the Jewish people, the Jewish state, people who are not religious? What is going on here? I mean, it's ridiculous. Look at how they treated you people. Again, don't know. No, most people don't know what the Jewish people suffer since the inception of Zionism. They tried to uproot every, like I say, they brought up from the Sephardic lands the Jewish people and made them non-religious. Every aspect of Judaism they tried to uproot, whether it was archaeology, digging up graves, desecrating of the dead, making roadways in the Jewish communities that they, immodesty and so forth in the Orthodox, very Orthodox communities, whether it's autopsies, which is forbidden according to the Jewish people, and they would just do this to sell the parts. We have to always send a person in there. The minute anybody dies, we have to have called shmirah, protection, that they shouldn't grab this body and cut it up. This is done since the day of the Zionist inception. In another land, if you they would have archaeologists digging up graves, it would be an uproar. It's unbelievable. In the Zionist state, this happens today. We have books on this. We have with pictures. You can look at our website, which you can have some more information. Again, I only touched on certain points. It's www.nkusa, that's very kind, nkusa.org. We have books on this, and we put millions of dollars to build cement barriers and so forth on tombs, on grave sites, because the archaeologists have no respect for the dead. They're void of religion. They dig up graves, so forth. They're constantly trying to undermine the Jewish religion. Because they want to transform it into a secular religion. A proof of this, how Orthodoxy is opposed to Zionism, even unfortunately the Orthodox people who are standing in the government, the Agudah was totally anti-Zionist, but they joined the government, and we'll get to that, but they said because it's there and they have to have it and so forth, they have to have rather money to be able to continue the yeshivas, not that, just like this Palestinian representation and so forth, but they don't have flags, Zionist flags on the buildings. They don't send their children to the military because they're not ready to give their lives for something which they don't believe in. So just understand that Zionism, again, like I say, is clearly nothing to do with Judaism. And so the Jewish people, we beg you, stop being a Zionist, be an Orthodox Jew. And I say this from my heart, not that I'm trying to be antagonistic. We are your brothers. We are responsible for you. We are one and the same. We are not one and the same with the Zionists, mind you. They are not our brothers. They are not acting as Jewish people. They do not represent Jewish people. They are from Jewish roots, and they have to repent. Let me clarify that. They are from Jewish roots. They are Jews, but they are not practicing Jews. We do not, they are estranged brothers, let us put it that way. And we are embarrassed by their actions. We are totally embarrassed by their actions. We are embarrassed and hurt because what they're doing is being done, first of all, with the terrible tragedies of what they're doing, and that it's being done in our name. And to the Muslim people, like I say, I encourage you to constantly speak out and understand, clarify the difference between Jews and don't fall into the trap of the Zionists that they want to be able to condemn you and call you, label you an anti-Semite. Clarify that you're not against Jews and clarify you're not out for Jewish blood, because today, being that orthodoxy is so prevalent and maybe is the strength of Jews today, they know they lost the war on the Zionist front, so they're trying to use propaganda to convince the Jews that you can't give up an inch, because if you're going to give back the land, you're going to be slaughtered. That is the propaganda machine that they have today. So you have to speak up and say, we are not anti-Jewish, we don't have hate the Jewish people, it's Zionism, what they're doing to us, they usurped our land and so forth. And we are not out for Jewish blood. This has to be clarified, because this, you'll be able to take the bite out of the Zionist propaganda machine. And again, we pray to God, and we ask everybody to pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantling of the state. We can live together peacefully. We pray ultimately for the day that it should come soon in our lives, when God's name will be recognized by all, we can all go up in harmony and serve God, and peace will reign throughout the world. Amen. Thank you.